Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Drew, the Vegas Edition, an extended prologue, New York Players Novella 2.5, by Lulu Moore. Narrated by Savannah Rivers and Oliver Highpoint. A note for listeners. While this book belongs to Drew, the events take place directly before Cooper's book, a year before Drew. Chapter 1. Emerson. A loud, extended car horn blared out for the second time as my phone buzzed on the table next to me. I ignored it, not needing to look down to see who it was, and not wanting my assumption confirmed. The horn moved to short, sharp, honking bursts, and I grinned into my bag, holding back the laughter which was threatening to break through. Fuck! It's like we're back in high school. My brother, Jupiter, stomped across his entrance hall and threw open the front door, making it look easier than it should, considering it was a slab of 10 feet high, 7 feet wide, solid oak. Clearly, the extra weights he'd been adding to his daily workout schedule had been beneficial.
Mallory, just fucking come in or stop with the noise.
He left the door open behind him as he stormed back to stand in front of me. Even though my head was down while I rifled through my bag, I could tell he was glaring. So I took my time to stand up, knowing it would only annoy him more. Between my best friend, Mallory, and me living to annoy my brother, and him falling for it, it kind of was like we were back in high school. I raised an eyebrow as I stood, mirroring his stance with my arms firmly crossed over my chest, although mine weren't bulging quite so angrily, and were clear of the tattoos which covered every spare inch of his bronzed, Californian skin. Yes. Even though we were 2 years apart, when we were little kids, people often mistook us for twins, but as we grew older, we became less alike, although our eyes were still a dead giveaway we were related. Something he clearly felt seemed to give him the right to tell me what to do, an opinion I did not share. Em, the annoyance in his voice softened, along with his glower. Take your pick. Go anywhere. Maldives, Bali, Tahiti, all sorted out. You name it. Jupe.
We're going to Vegas, Jupiter. Get over it.
Mallory's voice bounced off the hard surfaces of the vast entrance hall.
And we're gonna have a lot of fun and okay,
I interrupted, before she took Jupiter's rage to imminent threat levels. I turned to him. Jupe, we're going to Vegas. End of. I appreciate the concern, and I know you don't like it, but it really has nothing to do with you. Also, stop judging me by your own behavior. His shoulders dropped in a sigh, and his thick brows met in a frown.
I'm not judging you. I'm judging every guy who'll be in Vegas at the same time. You're newly single, and you have broken heart written all over you. You'll be like crack to an addict.
I recoiled in horror, as well as from the painful sting of truth. I was newly single, and I did have a broken heart. Thanks for that visual, and the lack of faith you have in me. I ignored his mouth tightening into a hard line and picked up my bag, throwing it over my shoulder before turning to Mallory, who was leaning against the doorframe, not bothering to hide the unadulterated glee splashed across her face. Ever since we were kids, she'd loved winding Jupiter up. If I didn't know better, I'd say she only planned Vegas to do exactly that. But in reality, she'd done it because she was the best girlfriend I could ask for, and knew it was what I needed to pull me out of the funk I was in. No, not funk. Heartbreak. The heartbreak I was suffering from, the result of a lying, cheating boyfriend. Ex-boyfriend. The ex-boyfriend who was causing my phone to buzz incessantly. I hit call reject for the 1,000th time.
I'm gonna break his fucking legs, snarled Jupiter, and even though he was mostly all talk, I wouldn't put it past him to follow through on this particular threat.
I didn't bother to look behind me because I knew he'd followed us out of the door to our waiting car. I also didn't fail to notice the driver's eyes widen slightly as he noticed my brother. Even if the guy wasn't an avid baseball fan, everyone knew who Jupiter Reeves was, because he transcended all sports. I handed my bag over for him to place in the trunk next to Mallory's and spun round to Jupiter's still very much annoyed face. Please don't. You have the World Series to win again this year, which you won't be able to do from prison. His huff told me he was genuinely weighing up the options. Mallory threw her arm over my shoulder, waiting for him to respond. Tell you what, Jupe, figure out a plan where you won't get caught, and I'll help you. Mallory's eyes slowly traveled up the length of his body, her head tilting when she'd finished. And while you're doing that, here's another idea. Maybe you should go and scrub off some of those kitty drawings you call tattoos. You're running out of space. Fuck off, Mal, he snapped, though it carried zero animosity, and I could see his lip curling in a smile at the edges. Don't forget you're in charge this weekend. Don't do anything fucking stupid. Can't promise on that. We'll have to see what the universe has in store, won't we? She winked. The universe, Jesus Christ, he muttered with a head shake. Okay, we need to go or we'll miss the flight. I leaned up and kissed Jupiter on the cheek. Love you, Jupe. Thank you for always looking out for me. You're a pain in my ass, Emerson. He pulled me into one of his massive bear hugs and dropped a kiss on my head before letting me go to open the car door. Have a good time. Just, please, try to be sensible. The death glare he shot Mallory as she scoffed loudly had brought lesser men to their knees, but she just blew him a kiss. He was still standing on the step as the car pulled out of his enormous driveway and through the gates. Mallory turned round to wave at him, her antagonistic grin staying firm until we were out of sight. I'd say he seriously needs to get laid, but we know that's not the issue, don't we? Anyway, how are you doing? I sighed. How was I doing? A week ago, I'd walked in on my doctor boyfriend screwing a nurse over his desk like he was auditioning for some kind of porn movie. It was so cliche and horrifying, as well as wildly out of what I had known up to that point as his character, that I stared a little too long at them. And now the visual was burned into my brain. I couldn't unsee it. Every time I closed my eyes, there they were. And the bile would churn again like curdled milk, cracking my heart into more pieces. But what was making it infinitesimally worse was how much he was trying to speak to me when I'd asked him to leave me alone so I could think. I didn't want to hear any more excuses. The only reason I'd not seen him was because I'd holed myself up at Jupiter's house, and even if Richard could get through the enormous gates, he'd never get past Jupiter, something not even a crazy man would attempt to do. Yeah, I'm okay. I don't know. Sometimes I'm okay, and then sometimes I'm not. It comes and goes. I just don't understand how he could have done this, and he won't stop calling or texting to apologize. Have you spoken to him? I shook my head as the ever-present scratch of tears crept up my throat again. No, I'm not ready. I'm so sorry, Em. It's inexcusable what he's done. I'm so sorry you're hurting. Thanks, I sniffed. She put her arms around me, squeezing me into her. Come on, we're gonna have the best few days. LJ and Ainsley are meeting us at the airport. I leaned in further, my head dropping onto her shoulder. Thanks for doing this for me. I'm so glad you're here. Mallory and I had grown up together in California. Neighbors since we were kids, we'd done everything together. California life for kids revolves around swimming and surf. Or at least our families did, when we weren't all watching Jupiter play baseball. As we moved into our teens, Mallory's love for the water increased. She was soon competing with the big boys on the big waves and found herself in the elite leagues before she turned 16. When I headed to college, she toured the world chasing the surf as well as finding a permanent base in Hawaii, home to some of the biggest waves. But the second I told her about Richard, she'd been on the next flight out, because she was that awesome. Hey, I wouldn't be anywhere else. Plus, as an added bonus, I get to annoy Jupiter, which he can never put a price on. Oh, and I've seen my parents, which has made me the best daughter they have. A win-win all around, I'd say. My heart lightened in amusement at the memory of Jupiter and Mallory's frat house hijinks, almost as much as I enjoyed it 10 years ago. He's still not forgiven you for switching out his lucky bats with softball ones before his big game. She spun round to face me, her mouth aghast. What? He got me back good. He punched holes in my wetsuit, remember? I was on the board before I realized. It was like wearing a sieve. My laughter turned swiftly into full-blown, side-splitting, tear-pouring, cheek-aching happiness. With my eyes closed, I could very clearly remember the look of horror on both their faces at the moment of discovery, followed by dogged determination to get the other back. Oh, God, I wheezed as I wiped away the tears and blotted my face. How had I forgotten that? The pair of them together had certainly kept my life interesting, up until Jupiter had gotten himself a girlfriend for a few months before leaving home permanently for the major leagues. Mallory and I had to make our own way to school after that. I don't know, but I haven't. She peered out of the window just as we passed the enormous white letters signaling our arrival at LAX. Ooh, we're here. The car slowed to a halt outside the domestic terminal, and before either of us, or the driver, had a chance to get out, two identical screeching blonde whirlwinds, otherwise known as LJ and Ainsley, the McAvoy twins, yanked open the door and pulled me out into a giant embrace. You're here, thank God! They graciously released me, only to give me a thorough once-over which would have rivaled my mom's. How are you? I shrugged before breaking into a grin. Better now I'm with you three, my favorite people in the world. You know it, winked LJ.
But this is only the beginning of the best girls' trip ever.
Which starts right now. Mallory jumped out of the car with a type of smile you only had pre-vacation and waited by the trunk for the driver to remove our bags. She passed mine to me before hugging the twins. Come on, ladies, let's get this show on the road. She linked arms with me on one side and Ainsley on the other, marching us through the airport to the check-in desk. So, how's Jupe? Ainsley's question was way more casual than it needed to be. It was also pointlessly casual because we all knew she had a long, unrequited crush on my brother. She was my brother's original fangirl. Mallory rolled her eyes while I just smirked. He is good. Same, really. Well, I didn't care if she still carried her torch. I wasn't about to encourage it. I could quite easily set her up on a date, but seeing as he'd leave her the second the sun rose, or likely before, I didn't want to put her through the heartache, or myself through the earache. She was still daydreaming when we reached the desk, and while we handed over our IDs, and as we took our boarding passes. After a not-so-swift journey through security, where I found myself dragging LJ away moments before she begged the very hot security guard for a pat-down, we boarded our plane and buckled in. God, I can't wait for a cocktail, Mallory announced as we touched down on the scorching tarmac at McCarran. It's 11 a.m.? She grabbed her bag from the overhead locker, shaking her head as she did. No, it's not. We're in Vegas. Time doesn't exist here.
Cocktail hour is a constant.
As it was, she had to wait until lunchtime before immersing herself in cocktail hour, because that's how long it took us to get off the plane and into the much-needed AC of the hotel. We come from the warmth of California, and even though we were in the middle of the desert, it felt way more deserty than it should at the beginning of May. The sweat running down my back from the brief moments we'd been outside was testament to that. As such, we took our time walking to the check-in desks across the lobby, enjoying the artificial Arctic-level temperature.
IDs, please, ladies,
asked the clerk as we arrived, and we all reached into our bags, handing them over. He began typing our details into his computer, then stopped when he reached my ID card. Ah, Miss Reeves, I didn't realize that was you. He looked up at my surprise-filled face. Normally, of the four of us, Mallory was the one who was recognized, and that was usually limited to the vicinity of locations around the beach. He rounded the desk. Come this way, please. Your check-in is this way. Your hostess is expecting you. We all followed silently, Mallory shooting her eyes over at me in question, but I merely shrugged because I didn't have an answer. He guided us over to a discreet entrance by a separate set of elevator banks, away from the throughfare of the lobby, and manned by a very beautiful, perfectly polished woman, her cherry red smile greeting us warmly. Hello, ladies, welcome. She took our ID cards from the clerk.
If you'll leave your bags here, we'll arrange for them to be brought up. Follow me, please.
Her fingers grazed a hidden button on the wall, opening the elevator doors, and we stepped in. Mallory was still sending me her silent questions via her raised eyebrows until the elevator stopped and the doors opened to a room so high up that all we could see out of the enormous floor-to-ceiling windows, which ran the length of the back wall, were the mountains of Nevada. All four of us walked to the middle of the suite. LJ and Ainsley were softly gasping at the more than impressive view, while Mallory and I were slowly spinning, taking in our surroundings. The room was decked with everything we could possibly need, and things we hadn't even thought we might need, including our own poker table, which would be great if I knew how to play. Giant couch, giant TV, giant doors through to giant bedrooms, giant floral arrangements. Everything was giant. Colossal, even. Excessive. Vegas, the city of excess. Then I noticed two oversized bottles of champagne sitting in an ice bucket on a marble table by the entrance hall. An envelope with my name on it rested on the side. Welcome to the presidential suite, ladies. Mallory turned around to our hostess, looking more bewildered than I'd seen her in a while. Or maybe ever. She searched for a name badge, but there wasn't one. Which made sense, as our hostess was far too sleek to wear a name badge. Kristen, she helped out, as I slid my thumb under the envelope tab and pulled out a card. If you insist on going to Vegas, at least do it properly. Jupe. XX. P.S. Behave. Yes, sorry, Kristen. We didn't book this suite. I nudged Mallory and passed her the card, both of us glancing up at Kristen, whose smile had turned distinctly simpering. I didn't need to guess why. Jupiter's presence wasn't required for him to have an effect on women, or men, for that matter.
You were upgraded.
She handed over a set of key cards I hadn't noticed she'd been holding until now.
These are for you. Your brother has loaded them up with $10,000 each to enjoy yourselves in our casino while you're with us. I also have full work spa treatment scheduled for you and a cabana reserved by the pools each day.
Holy crap, was all LJ managed to say, but summed up the rest of our thoughts perfectly. Thank you so much. I took the cards from her.
You're welcome. Do let me know if there's anything at all you need. My team and I are here for you 24/7. I have made presumptive dinner reservations for you this evening at Nobu. And do let me know if there's anywhere else you prefer to dine during your stay. Same goes for any of the shows.
This is amazing. Really, thank you. I walked her out just as the porter arrived with our bags. He followed Kristen out after leaving them by the door.
OMG,
Ainsley cried, falling onto the couch. She may as well have clasped her hands to her chest and fainted on a daybed circa 1850.
Jupiter really is the best.
Mallory groaned as she waltzed past her and over to the champagne. She eased the cork out until it popped loudly, then began pouring.
Give it a rest, Ains. You hooked up with him once when we were 13. He felt your boob, and that's it. We aren't listening to you talk about Jupiter all weekend.
It was like a balloon had burst in Ainsley's chest as she slumped into the gargantuan couch cushions. Come on, Ains. You're too good for him anyway. I nudged her shoulder, handing her a glass of champagne, which she knocked back in one.
I know.
She held her glass out for a refill, signaling exactly how this weekend was going to go. Not that I'd expected anything less. I took my own glass and sipped as I reached for my purse, extracting my phone. Emerson.
You're the best, big brother. I love you. Thank you for always looking out for me.
Jupiter.
Yeah. Remember, I can still break some legs.
I grinned.
Emerson.
I know. I'll bear it in mind for next time.
Jupiter. Scowl emoji.
LJ took the glass of champagne Mallory was holding out to her, waving it in the air for a speech.
Okay, gals. We should all thank Jupiter for this excellent room, and then enjoy Vegas as it was meant to be enjoyed.
Mallory and Ainsley whooped as LJ became the second twin to knock back an entire glass of champagne in less than a second. I grinned wide. I had the best friends, and it dawned on me that I hadn't spent nearly enough time with them recently. which had everything to do with the ex-boyfriend who was blowing up my phone. I threw it onto the couch, and it stopped ringing as I hit the cushions. I had zero clue what I was going to do about him, because I knew he wouldn't stop until he'd spoken to me. But I did know it wasn't something I wanted to think about or deal with at the present time. Right now was about girl time and nothing else. Let's do it. We topped up our glasses, then adjourned to our rooms, sharing in the pairs we always stuck to whenever we went away, to change into something more poolside cabana appropriate. Mallory was holding up an emerald green dress on a hanger as I walked out of our bathroom, the expression on her face telling me exactly what it was for. I ran my fingers over the material. It had been a while since I'd worn anything so revealing. When Richard and I had first started dating, his subtle comments had made it clear he didn't like me showing off my body in dresses on account of them being too... everything. And as I was always more comfortable in yoga pants anyway, due to my job as a fitness instructor, I'd soon found myself wearing less and less of them. In fact, I couldn't remember the last time I'd worn a dress. But I had a great body, one I'd worked my ass off for. I never used to shy away from showing it off, and it was about time I did again. "This for tonight?" I asked. Mallory nodded. "Thank you." I roped my arms around her into a big hug. "Now I want to see what you're wearing." The sun was doing the desert proud, baking hot and tanning everyone to perfection. The music around the pool was almost deafeningly loud and competing for volume against the shrieks from girls in the pool. Ainsley had become a card-carrying member of the Very Tiny Bikini Club, wearing a thong which was guaranteed to attract the type of attention she needed to take her mind off my brother. Mallory and I were lying on the cabana cushions, peering out while sipping our very large Mai Tais, when LJ swam over. Resting her elbows on the pool edge, she pulled the rim of her sunglasses down to look up at us, like a cop ready to deliver a key piece of evidence.
"Okay, I've done my recon. Oh my god, the guys here are insane and total fuckboys, but if you can pick through them, there's some seriously hot ones. There's one group over there from New York."
She pointed behind her, Mallory and I following her hooked thumb to a large gathering at a cabana on the opposite side of the pool. And even from this distance, I could make out the definition of their muscles.
"I overheard them talking about going back to the poker tables later, so we should def go there, and we can spend our Jupiter chips."
Mallory sat up and clapped her hands. "This is going to be an awesome weekend. We're gonna have so much fun." She took two shots off the tray offered out by a passing poolside waiter, handing one to me. "Come on, Em. Bottoms up." Even if I was being peer-pressured into having fun and forgetting my broken heart, they were right. I did need to have fun, to have something. Maybe not one of LJ's fuckboys, but I needed to experience more than Richard. I took the shot from her and knocked it back, wincing at the strength. Fuck it.
Chapter 2. Drew. I looked at my reflection in the mirror. Hair. On point. Perfectly imperfect. Shirt, crisp and white. Custom made and fitted to emphasize my muscles, but not to the point where I looked like I was trying too hard. The buttons had been positioned for the optimal proportions of buttoned to unbuttoned. Just enough for a peek of the soft dark curls women love to run their fingers through, but not too much for me to be mistaken for a Sicilian mob boss. The sleeves were folded back to mid-forearm. Jeans, dark wash, snug on my massive thighs, low slung on my narrow hips. Belt, thick, long, just like my cock. Boots, scuffed and unassuming. Watch, my favorite Audemars Piguet. Subtle, classic. I brushed my palms down my shirt. Yes, I would do. Looking worth every cent of the millions my sponsors paid and more. And if I'd learned anything from the years of modeling and fashion campaigns I'd done, it was how to dress properly for every occasion. The current one was Vegas, the city of sin. And I definitely planned on committing sin. Wink. 11 of us had arrived here a few days ago for the bachelor party of our team captain, Jasper Jacobs, and Tomorrow we'd be flying to England for his wedding. So tonight was the final blowout, and it couldn't start soon enough. I walked out of my bedroom into the main part of our suite, clapping my hands together. Right, boys, can we get the fuck on, please? 3 sets of eyes turned to look at me. Eyes belonging to my best friends and teammates Cooper Marks and Felix Cleverly, along with Murray Williams, the brother of the bride-to-be, and one of the funniest fuckers I'd ever met. Felix handed me a shot which could be anything from vodka to limoncello, though knowing him it would be tequila. I knocked it back without flinching. Yeah, tequila. Thanks, dude, but can we go? The rest of the guys are already downstairs, not to mention there are ladies waiting for me. Technically there weren't, but I had no doubt I'd find 1 or 3, and I had every intention of looking. I was not going to spend my last night in Vegas alone, although there'd no doubt be a bridesmaid or 2 next week. Yeah, we're just waiting for Jazz. He turned to Cooper, who was leaning back against the back of the couch looking growlier than usual. If anyone needed to get laid this weekend, it was him. But as he was babysitting Jasper, it was unlikely that would happen. Maybe I should just give him first pick of the bridesmaids.
What's the deal? Where is he?
Jasper hadn't exactly been an enthusiastic participant of his bachelor weekend. He'd struggled to spend time apart from Wolfie, his fiancée. The thought of being glued to one person ran across my skin as though I'd been dunked by that ice bucket charity thing that went around social a few years ago. I shook it off. Thankfully, that was not a situation I planned to be in anytime soon. Cooper sighed heavily and scratched his beard.
You go. We'll catch up. He's talking to Wolfie.
I walked over to Murray, who was standing by the door, as ready to leave as I was. Man, your sister owns his balls. He dropped his head with a shake.
Tell me about it. Not sure I ever want to be as whipped as that.
Dude, no chance, I scoffed. I opened the door to find Jasper's younger brother, Tate, standing on the other side, his hand lifted to knock. Hold that thought, I said to him, and turned back to the room. Coop, you sure you don't want us to wait?
Nah, go.
Okay, we'll text you our location. I whirled my finger in the air. Clavs, Murray, Tate, let's get the fuck out of here. The elevator pinged as we arrived on the casino floor, the distant ding, ding, ding of the slot machines filling the air before the doors had properly opened. We filed out into the lobby, teeming with wannabe gamblers, tourists, and partiers all looking for a good time. Because what happens in Vegas? Tate rubbed his hands together.
Okay, fellas, which tables are we hitting first tonight? Blackjack, craps, or poker?
Poker later. Let's warm up first and get some drinks.
Murray thumbed in the direction of the bar.
I want the lay of the land before we make any decisions.
Good shot.
Someone backhanded me on the arm.
Drew, what do you want to do?
But I wasn't listening. The only sound I heard was the hammering of my heart. I'd stopped dead in my tracks. A group was walking toward us, at the end of which was the most beautiful woman I'd ever seen. Like, goddamn beautiful. She had curves for days, wearing a green dress that looked like it had been made for her body. It hugged every mouth-watering inch of her and left little to the imagination. She stalked down the hallway, her dress barely covering her ass, showing off long, lean legs golden from the sun. Round, juicy tits were pushed up past the low neckline and bounced rhythmically as she moved, causing saliva to flood my mouth, or dribble out of it, seeing as my jaw had hit the floor. Holy fuck. Speaking from the experience of being a bona fide boobs man, having watched, touched, and sucked on and fucked hundreds of pairs, they were, without a doubt, absolutely natural. And absolutely spectacular. Thick, auburn hair tumbled down her back and shoulders, and I
briefly wondered what it would be like wrapped around my fist while I watched.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?